And I think this is so key here. I think this is so important. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And then explaining that, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the testimonies that we heard just a few minutes ago for Phil's friend who has experienced times of freedom from cancer. And Father, we lift this individual up before you again this morning. We ask that you would continue that. And Father, that you would bring healing into that person's life. Father, for Rosemary, we thank you that you healed her. And Father, many others in our congregation that need a healing today, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be actively at work, dealing and healing with each situation and each circumstance. Father, sometimes it's easy for us to forget that you are at work. Times when we just don't feel you, we don't sense you, we don't see you, and we wonder where you are. Father, for those of us that are in that situation, I pray that you would strengthen our faith, that you would encourage us. And Father, help us to understand there's never a place that we can go that you are not there. Father, for your word this morning and how important and vital it is that we know it and we apply it. So, Father, today I ask that your Holy Spirit would give me words to speak. Lord, words that would come from your throne and, Father, would go into the hearts of your people. So, Father, I just pray now that you would use me as your vessel to preach these powerful words. And, Father, that we may leave here knowing that we have been in contact with you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last time, 2 weeks ago, we started Ephesians chapter 6. And we learned that we're to fight in God's strength. And we talked extensively about the fact that we do not fight the Christian faith and the Christian fight within our own strength. That will lead us to being tired, to being frustrated, and to being overwhelmed by the circumstances and situations. He also told us last time that we're to put on the armor of God, and we're going to go extensively into that today. But the armor of God is what we wear in order to be able to live the Christian life and to fight the enemy. And in case you don't know who the enemy is Satan. He's real, he's alive, he's in our world today. And if you turn on the television for any amount of time and you watch the news, you understand that there is a demonic power at work. Therefore, that demonic power is not only aimed against the world leaders and the world in general, but guess what? Satan is aligned against you and me. And the forces of darkness will come against us. And this is exactly why Paul writes in Ephesians these words. And he closes the epistle with these words, which I find very helpful to me and should be helpful to all of us as we live our Christian life. And then that we're to wear that armor last week or the last time we were together for the spiritual battle. And that's where we're going to pick up today. So when we talk about the armor of God, Paul tells us here to prepare for battle. And he starts in verse 13. Now watch what he says. Therefore, in light of what he just wrote about the spiritual forces of darkness and evil that are not of this world, but of another world and another place, in light of this, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. What I want us to note here is taking up means that we have a responsibility. Yes, we are saved the moment that we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The moment that you bow before the cross of Jesus and you acknowledge that you are unable to get to heaven on your own, the moment that you get down metaphorically and you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, he comes into your heart. I will say this until I breathe my last breath. When that moment happens, you are saved. You are a child of God. But at that moment also, we have to realize that there are spiritual forces aligned against us that do not like the decision that we made. And I tell this to all new believers. The first thing Satan will do to a new believer is tell them somewhere down the road that they are not saved, that they did not make that decision. That happened to me. I was like, am I really saved? I'm still thinking this stuff. And thankfully, I had some godly people that helped me see, yes, you are saved, and this is just an attack, and it will eventually subside. And as you get stronger in your faith, guess what? You start starting to be able to realize who the enemy is as you grow in your Christian faith. So there is a battle. Don't live as if, oh well, things just happen for a reason, and this is just something that it just came against me, and this person is just a terrible person. But I want you to understand something, that Satan uses people to attack us. He uses all objects to attack us. And guess what? Satan knows where you're weak. He knows where I'm weak. And Satan will spend time working in those areas to attack us. And Paul is telling his readers and us today, who are readers of these words, that we are to prepare for a battle. And he says, take up the whole armor of God. That means us, brothers and sisters. We have a responsibility to take up the armor of God and put it on. So many times Christians live their lives as if there's no spiritual battle going on. And therefore it should not surprise us when we see Christians floundering in their faith. When we see Christians having a rough time in life because they've missed the point that this is a spiritual war going on. You can't see it a lot of times. Some of you can sense it. Some of you know when you're in it. And Paul's going to help us understand what we need to do. Now he says that you may be able to withstand the evil day. Withstand was a military term, and it means to hold one's ground. I love it. Paul used a lot of military terms, and I just love it. It means to hold your ground, to brace against, and to engage the enemy. It means that you will not run, you will not walk away, but you are standing firm against the onslaught of Satan's attacks. And that's what we need to do. In a day, I want you to think about for a moment the denominations and what they are allowing to take place in their churches today. It is appalling what is now acceptable. So Satan is attacking the church in general, but he will attack us as well. But Paul says we're to stand. And then he says, having done all, to stand firm. I remember years ago when I was in the Army. Many of you didn't know that, probably. I was in for quite a few years. We used to have to do PMCS, preventative checks and maintenance services on our vehicle. And the reason that we would do that, I was a sergeant and I was in charge of this, and I would send guys down the line and I'd say, okay, we need to do PMCS on these vehicles. And we would do those on Fridays because we had to be ready in case there was an alert. We were, at that time, serving in Germany, but wherever I was serving, we had these PMCS checks generally on Friday. And we had to report. I had to report back to the company commander if there was a deadline vehicle. And if there was a deadline vehicle, that means the vehicle was not able to go into combat. We stayed late to get that vehicle ready. So I had my soldiers down there making sure their equipment was ready in case the balloon went up and there was some type of confrontation. And they were aligned. usually when we got down the line, the company commander or the battalion commander would go down and look at those vehicles on Friday afternoon, and he would make sure that they were lined up. He would want to see their PMCS. We oftentimes put the PMCS, a copy of it, on the windshield so the company commander could go by and just pull it out and look, see if the vehicle was deadline. Because I'm going to tell you something, over in Germany in particular, before the wall came down, and I was there when the wall came down, there would be an early call on Monday morning at 2 o'clock. Sergeant Frazier, get in, we're on full-scale alert. And guess what? If you did not have those vehicles and your equipment ready to go, you were in trouble. And brothers and sisters, what he's using here are military terms, military language, to remind us that we are in a battle. And that you will be attacked and I will be attacked. He is going to come against us. And we have to be ready. Now, the weapons that we use, we have the armor. We're going to put the armor on. But now we have some weapons. And I'm going to tell you this. 5 of them are defensive weapons. Only 1 of them are offensive weapon, or is an offensive weapon. Having, notice what he says here in verse 14. We're going to read these through. Having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation. I showed you this image 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to talk a little bit about it a little more extensively here. First of all, the truth of the gospel. This is the truth of God. It's the truth of the gospel. That is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. That is our banner. We are to constantly, and he's using here imagery of the Roman soldiers. So the Roman soldier would not even think of going into battle without shoes. And so our lives, when we think about the feet covers everywhere that you go. Everywhere, brothers and sisters, everywhere that we go, we should always be quick to give the gospel message out. Because this world in which we live is in darkness. And the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers that they should not obey the truth or believe the truth. And so as we live our Christian lives, we take the feet of the gospel. I think I got these out of order, but we have the gospel message with the truth. Now we fight for the gospel. We're ready to share it. I got them out of order, but that's okay. We fight for the gospel. We're ready to share it. Number 3, the shield of faith. The shield of faith the soldier would have, and oftentimes they could actually put it down like this and actually hide behind the shield. Now you notice what he says, which by we can extinguish the flaming darts of Satan. When you and I start doubting God in our lives, and it can happen, trust me, it can happen. In those moments when you start doubting God, you have left yourself open to more extensive attacks. Because if Satan can get us to take the shield away, well, we may have some other coverings. But we are open to getting hit in all kinds of areas because we're not having that shield of faith. When you think about the shield of faith, this means this. I will trust God. I will trust God with everything in my life. And when you take that shield up, no matter what Satan throws against you, you're able to get behind the shield and block it because Satan can't get you. When you are trusting God with everything that's going on in your life, and you trust Him completely, say, God, I know this looks bad right now. I know things are rough. I know this is horrible, but I'm going to keep trusting in You, and I'm just going to stand there and do all, having done all to stand, you're going to stand against, and you're going to brace, and you're going to let Satan do whatever he wants to do and keep throwing at you, and you're just going to sit there and say, God, this is absolutely horrible, but I trust in You. Eventually, Satan has to try a different game. And unfortunately, sometimes we get in our Christian life and we get frustrated and we take the shield and we set it down over here and there's really nothing to fight with. And so Satan just starts picking us off and hitting us at will. And then, of course, it gets worse and worse. Every Roman soldier would have known when Paul wrote these words that you do not go into battle without a shield. That's dangerous business. You take the helmet of salvation. Again, a big one. I would probably put this first. You put on the helmet of salvation. And salvation is trust in Jesus Christ. You have the shield, which is trust in God, trust in Christ. And if you go into battle without a helmet, you're not going to last too long. Because the enemy will aim for your head. But when you have the helmet of salvation, God protects the most important asset that you have, which is your mind and the brain and all those things. He protects that with the helmet of salvation. You can take this all metaphorically, but the image is very good that Paul paints. And by the way, I believe once you are in Christ, you're always in Christ. But I also believe you have to have it, that the conversion needs to be genuine. This right here, the inspired word. This is the only offensive weapon we have. Let me give you an image. Hopefully it'll work. You put your helmet on. You wake up in the morning, you put all of your gear on, and you get out into your day, and all of a sudden you get to work and you start getting attacked. You go out, you just seem under attack. Satan is really attacking you. I remember... Well, Tony Evans one time was preaching a sermon, and he said, you should live your life when you get out of bed and your feet hit the floor, the demons go, uh-oh, he's awake. Only Tony Evans can, you know, scream it out like that, and it'd be good. But I want you to think of this. When you're down there and you're under attack, the weapon that you have at your disposal is the Word of God. When you're down there behind your shield, you say, God is my rock, my source, my salvation. He will deliver me, Satan, and you will be defeated. You use the Word of God against the satanic and demonic attacks that come against you and me. You get in the Word, you memorize the Word, so when Satan comes against us, and he pushes hard against us, we just simply start quoting the Word of God. That's how you knock out Satan. And that's the sword of the Spirit. It's the same word where St. Augustine sat under a tree, read the Word of God, and got saved. Where did that come from? That came from the sword of the Spirit, which can slay the heart. We take the Word of God and we quote it back. What happened to Jesus when he was being tempted by the devil? What did he do? He took the Word of God and fought back. That's what we do. This is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We take this to push back the enemy and to push him back and say, no, 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 no. My hope is rest in Jesus Christ and Him alone. My hope is not in this world. My hope is not in what you can do for me or what you can do for me. My hope is in whom I have believed. And then when you start quoting Scripture, I'm using the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as an example. After the third time that Satan tempted him, it says the devil fled. We got to start fighting right. As a church, as individuals, we have got to start fighting with the Word of God. Not saying, do you know what, how can you help me out of this? How can you help me do this? What's the best way out of this situation? No. What we need to start doing, brothers and sisters, is using the Word of God to fight Satan. That's how we tear down the strongholds. That's how we push back against him. And Satan does not want to hear this morning. He does not want you to hear this word of God. Because when you start actually quoting scripture back to Satan, he will flee. But so many times we're so worried about, you know, could you help me out of this? Or could you do this for me? And it's easy to forget. And I'm a big believer in 3x5 cards. Tawana's got a bunch of them in her purse. I've seen them. It's a good girl. You take a 3x5 card. This, I got some other things I want you to take home too. You take a 3x5 card and you write verses. The Lord is my shelter. He is my rock. He is my fortress. Whom will deliver me? Just write those. I almost said write those babies down. But you can do that too. Just write them down. Put the verse on the top left of the 3x5 card, and then put the verse that you want underneath. And you, men, you can put it in your shirt pocket. Get 10 or 15 of those. Ladies, you can keep them in your purse. Write them down. And anytime Satan comes against you and you don't have your Bible and you can't think of a verse, just pull it out and say, Satan, I claim this. Satan doesn't want that because he knows that the Word of God can stick him. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, used the Word of God, even though Jesus could have gone. Do you know why he did that? Do you know why he used the Word of God? Can you imagine telling the disciples, this is how you fight Satan? And of course, you've got the power inside of you in the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. We haven't gotten into that one. But the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to do things you cannot otherwise do on your own. Isn't that right? Yep. That's right. Use the Word of God. But then we also have to pray at all times. There's the Holy Spirit. I knew he wouldn't be far in a sermon like this. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying all times, we'll talk about the different prayers in just a minute, but praying at all times, that word in the Greek refers to particular moments. It's an aorist imperative. I know that means absolutely nothing to you guys, but it does to me as a scholar. It means a snapshot. Do you remember I talked about the snapshot not too long ago? It is a snapshot event. So, when you see this, praying at all times, in particular moments, the realm in which you pray is this, in the Spirit. Here's how it works. Situation comes into your life immediately. I've done that with people on the spot. They're telling me about a situation. I go, let's pray now. Take their hands. Pray at that moment. Praying when the situation arises. Because you can't just kind of file it. Well, I'll get to it when I get home. When that situation comes, at all times, that means we're looking around as situations come to us. We drop. You don't actually have to drop. I'm just doing that for purpose of the sermon. But you drop and you begin to pray, Lord, this situation is going on. I need some advice. I need some wisdom. I need something here. And Father, I'm praying in the Spirit that you would give me what I need. Bam. When was the last time somebody came to you at work or in a social event And they said, you know, I'm really struggling here. We need prayer in the situation. At that moment, God is giving you the opportunity to minister to that individual. Because this is not always about me. This is also about others. When he says praying at all times, he's not saying praying at all times when I'm in trouble. Praying when other people are in trouble. You grab their hand and say, can I pray with you? And you know who to do this to, really? You do this for unbelievers. Very rarely have I met an unbeliever that said, no, don't pray for me. Now you're saying, well, you're a pastor. Well, there's been times I haven't told them I'm a pastor. And actually, there's been times I've seen people walking at Walmart or wherever it is, and Holy Spirit prompts me to pray for them, and guess what? I pray for them even though I'll never see the result of it, because the Holy Spirit, in the realm of the Holy Spirit, told me to pray for the individual, and I prayed for them. No idea what's going on in their life. I just said, I need to pray for this guy. Something's not right here. I sense something. And pray right then. The issue here is, brothers and sisters, we have to be alert to be praying at all times. Have you ever just run into somebody and you go, I need to pray for that person? There's something about it. Next time that happens, do your pastor a favor. Pray right there. And certainly, by all means, when there's situations in your life that come in there, I would say stop, drop, and roll, but I'll say it this way. Stop, drop, and pray. Stop, drop, and pray. In all situations. I love this picture. That's intensity. That looks like a woman that is intently praying to God. Pray at the exact moment the Spirit nudges you to pray. And I'll say this. We have all, at times in our lives, not prayed when the Spirit nudges us. But again, if we're quoting the Word of God and we're using the Word of God to fight Satan, the second big thing that we need to do is to pray. If you're running low on your faith in God, ask God to give you the faith that you need to fight the Satan and the demons. You say, well, Pastor, you're saying there's a demon under every rock. Maybe I am. Maybe I am saying that to a certain point. There's some stupid stuff that we do. Dumb stuff that we do. But then there's stuff that we can't explain, and I would like to classify we can't explain as spiritual attack. And I think even in the dumb stuff, we can say, God, you know, I'm sorry I messed up here. Please forgive me. That's not a big thing. But I'm saying that most of the time Christians live their lives as if there's not even a battle going on. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I'm on my way to see Jesus. That's true. But until you get there, you got a war to go through. This is not, being a Christian is difficult and growing increasingly difficult in the culture in which we live. And you say, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe Satan's attack. Okay. All right. But I'm telling you, he is. He wants your home. He wants your life. He wants everything. Ultimately, it's like the Job syndrome. When Satan went to God, God said, you can take everything except you won't touch his life. Job's friends, there must be something going on in your life while all this is happening. Something's going on. Something's happened. Something's happened. No. No, because at the end of the book of Job, he gets everything back three times. God restores it all. He had to go through a lot, but guess what? Think about that. That's really a story of our future reward in heaven. Right? Satan can, he can have a field day with us now. But guess what? There's coming a day when Satan's going to pay the toll. And there's coming a day when we see Jesus Christ and we come back down on this earth and we're in the presence of God forever. Hallelujah. Wow. Let me encourage you. Pray at the exact moment that you, even if you think it's silly, pray at that moment. Even if you think it's silly or strange or weird. Here's one you could even do. You know, I just feel like I need to pray for you. Now, you may get some people saying, no thanks. When they walk away, you pray for them anyway. And any situation that somebody brings to you, you want to pray. Praying at all times of prayers, we're going to look at two real quick. There's two types of prayers, with all prayer and supplication. The first one is prayer. This is going to be really hard. You need theological training to understand this one. You need to go to Bible college. You need to go to seminary. You need to get your doctorate. The word prayer, literally in the Greek, means to speak to, make a request of God. That's all prayer is. Prayer is, God, I really need help right now. Guess what? That's prayer. And you don't need to be, you know, in a place. You can be driving and say, God, I really need help. I've done that a lot on the way to hospitals. I've prayed on the way to hospitals for people. And I'm going to tell you, God has never failed to give me the words that I need to say to the person who's grieving. Or has healed a situation that looked impossible. Prayer is simply making a request to God. See, the better you get at this, you'll start realizing that your requests get a little more sophisticated as you get along in your Christian walk. First of all, it's all about me. Me, 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 because that's how we are. Let's all face it. But then you start including others, and we'll get into that in just a second. But I want you to take away from this, prayer is simply talking to God. Just like my wife talks to me, and I talk to her, or I talk to Glenn or Sandy. I talk to them, they talk to me. That's all prayer is. Prayer is not a complicated thing, folks. And yet it's usually the last thing that we try to do. Well, if all else fails, throw the Hail Mary prayer. No, it should be the first thing that we do is pray. Just talk to God. You have the God of the universe at your disposal. And you think, well, how can God listen to little old me in my dark corner? That's why he's God. He's transcendent. He's out of time. He hears everything that happens to you. And even when you are in that dark place, God sees you. God hears you. Supplication. That which is asked with urgency based on a need. When Satan comes against you and you know it's an attack, you get down and you say, God, I need to supplicate for Brother Bill. I need to supplicate for Brother Emmett. He has an urgent need right now, God. I ask that you would meet that need in that moment at the time he needs it. Remember something. God is never late or early. He's always on time. Sometimes I thought for sure God was 15 minutes late. Sometimes 3 weeks late. But God's always on time. It's kind of funny, isn't it? How this whole Christian walk works. Isn't it kind of funny? Because the stuff that we think, surely God's going to do this. We didn't do that. So I wonder sometimes if God is not testing us in our prayer life. Just a thought. Ask. Seek. Knock. Sometimes we just ask and go away. And sometimes, God, I say this with a little bit of, you know, fear, is that sometimes I wonder if God is testing us to see how bad we really want something. But supplication is in that moment when somebody says to you, I've got cancer, I've got this situation, I've got this situation, we need immediate prayer. That's when you begin supplication. That's when you say, yeah, come here, we're gonna pray right now, and you start praying. If you know somebody in the church, or you know somebody that's living in your neighborhood or whatever that is going through a spiritual fight, you make it your daily business to pray for that person. I'm telling you, I am telling you, now 28 years of pastoral ministry, I am telling you, there have been times people have been praying for me and I simply know it. Because I feel lifted up. And there's been times you've prayed for people and they go, you know what, I could feel your prayers, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Supplicate. Not agitate, supplicate. Pray. Lastly, for the gospel advance. For the gospel advance. Paul says, oh yeah, with boldness. And also for me, that's Paul, that words may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So Paul is saying, while he's in chains, those are physical chains, because he's in prison, that I may proclaim, would you have loved to have been a guard guarding Paul? They bring him his food. I can just hear Paul. You know, God gives me my spiritual food. You can just see Paul talking to them guards all the time. Wasn't it at Philippi where the prison was all opened up? Paul and Silas were praying at midnight. And the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was already prepped with Paul's stuff. He said, we are all here. Do not hurt yourself. Wow. Paul was, I think, a man of great gospel presentation. I think we need to do that in our lives as well. Quick to share the gospel. Quick to listen. Quick to pray. Quick to recognize the enemy when he attacks. That I may pray boldly. Watch this.
Clear in Matthew 28:19 when he said, go and make disciples of all nations. It's a God-sized challenge. But with Christ, anything's possible. And God has a plan for getting it done. First, pray for the lost every day. Pray for courage to share, for discernment, and for hearts to be softened. Every believer has a redemption story. Develop relationships and learn how to share yours effectively. Sow down the gospel by sharing your testimony, your Christ experience with others. Then celebrate every salvation response and surround new followers of Christ with mentors and discipleship. Joining other believers in getting the gospel to every person in North America by 2020.
Church is the one that shares the gospel. Not building bigger buildings, not focusing on inreach. What can we do for us? The goal and mission of the church, obviously, first and foremost, is to glorify Christ. We would all agree on that. But I think the second goal right up there is to share the gospel. We have got to get back to sharing the gospel. And I think a bloody day in which we live requires a bold response by the Christian community. Because there is a spiritual holocaust going on right here in Tolona right now. Spiritual holocaust. People are dying without Jesus Christ. And Peter or Paul here says, and also for me that the words may be giving me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Do you know what the mystery is? Again, a lot of ink spilt needlessly. You know what the mystery of the gospel is? The mystery of the gospel is, why would a perfect, holy, righteous God want to have a relationship with a sinful, unholy, unrighteous people? But he does. And he promises when we trust in him that he cleans us perfectly by the blood of the Lamb. And we become the righteousness of God. We may not look great outwardly, but inwardly we are clean. And brothers and sisters, we have the cure to sin. The cure to sin and separation from God is who? Jesus Christ. And him alone. In his speech, Paul says this, for which I am an ambassador in chains. And Paul was in, he was like this, clicked in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul now, who is probably under the most spiritual attack you can possibly ever be under, who is in chains, you know what he's thinking? How can I use my chains to share the gospel message? I know how most of us, probably myself included, how do I get out of the chains? But the Apostle Paul, how can these chains be used and to share the gospel? Oh, I can think of one way. Christ sets you free. You may be in physical chains, but you can be spiritually unchained. This is my challenge. 3x5 cards. Remember, I talked about them. Huge on those. Dr. Windsor at Florida Baptist Theological College, my preaching professor, he got us all into these 3x5 cards. I love them. Write them down. Some of you I know do this anyway, but write those 3x5 cards. But this is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a 2x2x2 challenge. This is what I want all of us to do, myself included. Identify two unbelievers. How many of you have unbelievers in your life? Oh, okay, everybody. Okay, that's good. At least you're in contact with unbelievers. I've heard some Christians say, I don't hang around with unbelievers. They're sinful. Well, who do you think Jesus spent most of his time with? Unbelievers. Identify two unbelievers. Just as the Spirit prompts you, identify two unbelievers. Pray for them two times a day. Pray for them whenever you want, two times a day. Morning and evening's good. And the reason I'm saying this is, I think the fastest way to get our church to grow is through evangelism. I think what's wrong with most churches in general is this. One, that believers go from this church to the next church. Then there is no evangelism because you've already got the saved just shuffling around. You just shuffle them around. And sometimes churches get into that mode and they forget, wait a minute, the Bible says it's the power of God unto salvation. We got to go back to evangelism. I'm not trying to beat you up with it. I'm just trying to remind us that our job here is to share the gospel. And as we share the gospel, they go, what's this church business? You bring them into the church. They start growing in their faith. Guess what? They get baptized. They join the church. Church grows. Guess what? You need a bigger building. As you get bigger buildings, of course, then it gets problematic. Then you got to call them specialists and all that, but that'd be fine with me. Call a specialist. Identify two unbelievers, pray for them twice a day, and pray for 2 weeks, then share the gospel. Because I think when they were talking about sowing there, you sow that seed. And because this, again, brothers and sisters, is not a physical battle. The salvation of souls is essentially a spiritual battle. And therefore, you lay the foundation. Holy Spirit, be at work. Start working on their hard heart. I would even say take two of the toughest. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. The ones you would never think would come to Jesus Christ. But you may not want to do that initially. You want to build up to this. But just take two unbelievers, pray for them, write their names down, pray morning and evening for 2 weeks, and then share the gospel. Because I'm foolish enough to believe that the Holy Spirit will be at work in that person's life preparing for you to share the gospel. And you know who also is going to be at work? You don't want to pray today. It's too early. You know, that time, Bill, that you said you wanted to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and pray. Now you don't want to do that. Sleep in until 8. There'll be a spiritual battle going on. Not that Bill back there. Bill's a good guy. But Satan is going to attack you. What do we got? We got the shield of faith. We trust God. Now, God may not lead you to do that. That's okay, too. But I'm telling you, the goal is that we're supposed to share the gospel. And even when the circumstances are not in our favor. I'm sure Paul goes, I really want out of this, God. But what Paul did was, he says, okay, when life hands me a lemon, I'll make lemonade out of it. I'll use this place right here to share the gospel. Is there a spiritual war going on?
Yes.
Is Satan attacking you every day?
Yes.
How are you going to fight back?
The word of God.
What else can you use at your disposal to fight back? Prayer. You're going to pray for others, not only yourself?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Took me 45 minutes to say all that. Maybe you want me to do shorter sermons. But we're in war. Sometimes we don't do it right. I'm in that group. Sometimes I fail. I get knocked down in the dirt and I have to pick everything up again and stick it back on. None of us are immune. Let's do it this week. Put everything on tomorrow morning. Like Tony Evans, when your feet hit the floor, the demons should go, uh-oh, she or he is awake.